She's not who you think she is. You're kneeling in front of a goddess who keeps changing faces. One moment she's your salvation, the next your destruction. But here's what will shatter your world. She was never real. Have you ever been in love with a ghost that wore her face? Picture this. You meet her eyes across a crowded room. Time stops. Your chest tightens. Every broken piece of you suddenly makes sense. You think it's fate. You think it's destiny. You think the universe finally decided to stop punishing you. You're wrong. What you're feeling isn't love. It's recognition. Your soul is screaming because it sees something familiar, something it's been hunting for years, something it lost long before you ever knew her name. You weren't falling for her. You were falling into a void shaped like a woman. Every text feels like a hit of heroin. Every silence feels like death. When she pulls away, your world collapses. When she comes back, you're reborn. You call this love. Jung called it possession. She becomes your mirror, your drug, your god. You would die for her. You would kill for her. You would sacrifice everything you are just to keep her interested. But here's the truth that will destroy you. You're not in love with her. You're in love with who you become in her presence. You're addicted to the version of yourself that only exists when she's watching. She's a projection, a screen, a beautiful walking reflection of everything you've rejected about yourself. Everything you've denied, everything you've buried so deep you forgot it existed. You chase her like a man dying of thirst chases water in the desert, but every time you reach for her, she vanishes. Because she was never water. She was a mirage created by your own desperate mind. And the cruelest part? She feels it too. She knows she's playing a role in your personal mythology. She knows you don't see her, you see a character in your story. And deep down, she resents you for it. You built an altar in your mind and placed her on it. Now you worship at the feet of your own creation, wondering why your prayers go unanswered. This isn't a love story. It's a possession, and you're the one who opened the door. The woman you think you love doesn't exist. She never did. She's a phantom born from your wounds, dressed in flesh, walking through your life, leaving destruction in her wake. And until you see this, really see this, you'll keep falling for the same ghost wearing different faces, wondering why love always feels like dying. Carl Jung once warned of a woman who doesn't exist. She's not out there. She's in you. He called her the anima, your inner feminine, the priestess locked in your psychological basement, screaming to be acknowledged. But instead of facing her, you project her onto every woman who makes your pulse quicken. You were never in love with her. You were in love with who you hope to become. Listen carefully. Inside, every man lives a script written before his first breath. It's penned in abandonment ink, signed with his mother's emotional distance, sealed with every woman who made him feel like he wasn't enough. This script has one plot. Find her. Complete yourself through her. Become worthy through her validation. What you call chemistry is your wound recognizing itself. She laughs at your joke, and suddenly you're 8 years old again, desperate for approval. She touches your arm, and you feel like you matter for the first time in years. She withdraws, and you're right back to being the boy whose mother looked through him like glass. The anima is your soul's feminine face. She holds your capacity for feeling, for intuition, for depth. But when she's unconscious, she becomes a succubus feeding on your desperation. You don't choose which women attract you. Your anima does. She's drawn to the chaos that feels like home. The emotional unavailability that mirrors your inner wasteland. The beauty that promises salvation but delivers damnation. Every romantic obsession is really anima possession. You become a puppet dancing to her unconscious desires. You think you're pursuing a woman. You're actually chasing your own disowned soul through someone else's body. The anima whispers lies. She'll save you. She'll complete you. She's different. But she's not different. She's the same phantom wearing a new mask. You worship femininity in others because you've rejected it in yourself. You chase goddesses because you've denied your own divinity. You seek wholeness in her because you've fragmented yourself into acceptable pieces. This invisible script runs your life. It chooses your crushes. It writes your heartbreaks. It authors your humiliation. And you call it preference. The script always ends the same way. You give everything. She takes what she wants. You're left empty. Then you find another actress to play the same role. Until you rewrite the script, until you face the anima within, you'll keep living the same story with different characters, wondering why love always feels like betrayal. The anima isn't evil. She's ignored. And ignored feminine energy becomes demonic. She'll drag you through hell just to get your attention. Stop looking for her out there. She's been waiting inside you all along. He was 6 when she left. Not physically, but emotionally. That was the first time he mistook silence for mystery. She stopped seeing him that Tuesday afternoon. Her eyes went vacant. Her warmth disappeared. One day he was her little prince. The next he was invisible furniture. He never understood why. He just knew he wasn't enough anymore. So he made a vow in his child's heart, "I'll become worthy of love." That wound became his compass. Every woman since has been an attempt to go back in time and fix that moment, to prove he's worth staying for, to earn the love that was supposed to be unconditional. This is where the anima attaches, to your unprocessed grief. You recognize the pattern, don't you? You're drawn to women who withhold, who are emotionally distant, who make you prove yourself over and over. You call it passion. It's actually trauma repetition. She pulls away, and suddenly, you're that 6-year-old boy again, wondering what you did wrong. Your nervous system doesn't care that 30 years have passed. Your body keeps the score. Every time she goes silent, it's not her rejection you feel. It's the echo of someone you never stopped waiting for. The absent mother. The cold teacher who humiliated you. The first girl who kissed you then pretended it never happened. They all live inside your anima now, shaping every attraction you'll ever feel. You don't fall in love with women who heal you. You fall in love with women who wound you in familiar ways. Because familiar pain feels like home. This is why healthy women bore you. Their consistency feels flat. Their reliability seems lifeless. You need the chaos, the uncertainty, the emotional roller coaster that makes you feel alive. But you're not feeling alive. You're feeling the wound. Your anima became infected the day love first hurt you. Now she only recognizes love when it comes with abandonment, when it promises paradise but delivers purgatory. You think you're seeking connection. You're actually seeking repetition. The chance to replay that primal wound and finally win, to prove you're lovable to the woman who first taught you that you weren't. But here's the brutal truth. You can't heal a childhood wound through an adult woman. You can't fix the past by controlling the present. You can't become worthy of love by earning it from someone else. The wound whispers lies. She's different. This time will be different. You just need to try harder. But the wound is lying. It always is. Until you turn toward that wounded child inside you, until you give him the love he never received, you'll keep bleeding on people who didn't cut you. The anima doesn't need another woman to seduce. She needs that boy to be held. You weren't dating her, you were performing a ritual, and every ritual needs a sacrifice. This time, it was your soul. Look at your last 5 heartbreaks. Different faces, same story. She loves you, she leaves you, you fall apart. Then you find another, and the pattern restarts. You call it bad luck. Jung called it compulsion. The anima doesn't want healing. She wants repetition. She's addicted to the familiar agony, the sweet torture of almost having what you need, then watching it slip away. You become her priest, performing the same sacred ceremony. Chase, catch, lose, repeat. Every text you send is an offering on her altar. Every time you check if she's online, you're burning incense to your own obsession. You're not in love. You're in a trance. She pulls back. You chase harder. She goes cold. You get desperate. She disappears. You lose your mind. Then she returns with just enough warmth to restart the cycle. You think she's playing games. She's not playing anything. You are. You're playing out an ancient script where love equals suffering, where intimacy equals abandonment, where getting close means getting hurt. The anima has turned you into a moth. She is the flame. You know it will burn you. You fly toward it anyway, because the alternative, facing the darkness inside yourself, feels worse than death. You weren't dating her. You were dating your own wound dressed in her body. This is why therapy doesn't help. Why self-help books fail. Why every relationship ends the same way. You can't think your way out of possession. You can't rationalize your way out of ritual. The mirror of madness shows you this. Every woman who breaks your heart is the same woman. Your anima wearing different masks, teaching you the same lesson you refuse to learn. She reflects your unintegrated feminine, your rejected softness, your denied intuition, your buried emotional truth. And because you can't see it in yourself, you worship it in her. The madness isn't loving her. The madness is thinking she can save you from yourself. You give her your power, your time, your energy, your essence. Then you wonder why you feel empty. You poured yourself into someone else's cup and called it devotion. But here's the twist that will shatter your reality. She was never the danger. Your blindness was. The anima isn't your enemy. She's your teacher. Every heartbreak was a lesson. Every rejection was initiation. Every loss was invitation to finally turn inward and face the feminine you've been running from. Stop blaming her for reflecting what you refuse to see. The mirror isn't broken. Your vision is. Until you stop worshiping the reflection and start integrating the source, you'll remain trapped in this hall of mirrors, chasing your own shadow through someone else's life. The path back begins where you are right now, alone, empty, broken. This is not your punishment, this is your initiation. You don't need her body, you need the part of your soul she awakened and abandoned. The ancient kings knew this truth. To rule the outer world, you must first conquer the inner realm. Your anima waits there, not as a lover, but as a priestess at the temple gate. She holds the keys to everything you've been seeking through women, your intuition, your emotional depth, your capacity for real intimacy, your ability to feel without drowning. But first, you must descend into the underworld of your own psyche, into the dark places you've spent years avoiding, into the grief you've been medicating with her attention. This is sacred rage, the fury of recognizing how much life you've wasted chasing ghosts. Feel it. Don't suppress it. Let it burn through the lies you've been telling yourself. You were not meant to be her emotional servant. You were not born to earn love through performance. You were not created to sacrifice your soul for scraps of feminine approval. Begin the dialogue. Sit in silence and speak to the anima within. Ask her, "What do you need from me?" Listen to her answer, not with your ears, but with your heart. She'll tell you things that terrify you, that you're allowed to feel deeply, that strength includes tenderness, that your emotions are not weakness, their power unacknowledged. Let go of the goddess addiction. Every woman you placed on a pedestal was just you refusing to claim your own divinity. Stop worshiping what you refuse to embody. Embrace the sacred masculine that includes the feminine. Not the toxic masculinity that rejects emotion, but the integrated masculinity that encompasses wholeness. Create space for solitude. Real solitude. Not the desperate kind where you're planning your next text to her, but the fertile kind where you commune with your own depths. Journal like your life depends on it. Write letters to your anima. Ask her what she's trying to teach you through every woman who broke your heart. Let her speak through your pen. Feel the grief of all the years you spent as emotional beggars. Mourn the boy who never learned he was enough. Honor the man who's tired of performing for love. This is alchemy. You're transforming the lead of your neediness into the gold of your sovereignty. You're reclaiming the feminine power you've been outsourcing to women who could never carry its full weight. The anima is not your enemy. She never was. She's the part of you that knows how to love without losing yourself, how to feel without drowning, how to connect without disappearing. You're not healing to get her back. You're healing to get yourself back. You were not meant to orbit her fire. You were meant to become your own. Look at yourself now, not in the mirror. Mirrors lie. Look with the eyes of your soul. See the man who no longer collapses when she doesn't text back, who doesn't beg for breadcrumbs of attention, who walks through the world carrying his own flame. This is what integration looks like. You see her beauty without being blinded by it. You appreciate her essence without worshiping it. You can love without losing yourself in the process. The anima is no longer a tyrant demanding sacrifice. She's an ally offering wisdom. She whispers truths instead of desperate lies. She says, "You are enough. You always were." When you stop chasing, something magical happens. Women sense the shift. They feel your groundedness, your unshakable center, your refusal to be moved by games that once destroyed you. They're drawn to this energy like moths to flame, but now you're the fire, not the moth. You speak differently. You move differently. You love differently. Not from emptiness seeking fullness, but from completeness choosing connection. This is the sovereign masculine. He doesn't need validation to feel worthy. He doesn't require female approval to know his value. He's complete within himself, and from that completeness he chooses to share. The woman you once needed, she may return, but you no longer need her to. That's when true love becomes possible, when it's chosen, not compulsive. You offer your heart as a gift, not a transaction. You give your presence as abundance, not desperation. You love from overflow, not lack. And if she can't meet you there, if she's still trapped in games and manipulations, you walk away, not in anger or bitterness, but in clarity. You've outgrown the cage that once held you. This is your rebirth, not into a man who gets women, but into a man who gets himself, who honors his own depths, who carries the sacred feminine within him so powerfully that he no longer needs to seek it desperately in others. Don't chase her. Awaken her within. Become the man she was a mirror for. And when you do, the spell breaks. The projections dissolve. The need disappears. You realize the greatest love story was never about her. It was about you returning to yourself. Complete. Sovereign. Free. The anima smiles. Her work is done.